You guys are in trouble. I got a red folder up here today. At my work, that means the parts inside are hot, and you could never get them done fast enough. When I used to work for my Uncle Wiley, he would give us prints, and he would write the word hot on it. And sometimes he would write hot, hot on it, and sometimes it would be hot, hot, hot. And it's like, okay, we get it. You know, it is what it is. So I just want to say before I get going here that, you know, I had sent an email to you guys last week asking you if you would be willing to share something about your fathers for today. And, because, you know, when you get up here and you talk, and I mean, I can only talk to you about what I know and what I've lived through and things like that. And I don't know, there's just sometimes when, you know, it doesn't need to be all about what I know or what I've lived through. I want to hear what you've known and what you've lived through. So I'm saying that because if by chance you didn't see the email, Charlene, I'm not pulling you out. I'm just saying I sent one and I asked people to tell me something about their father. Okay. So I'm telling you, and Randy, I don't know if you saw it or not, but I did. And I don't want to miss anybody. So if you want to think about something to tell us a little bit about your father, if you're willing to do that at the end before I read them, I will let you do that. Okay. I put a deadline of Friday on sending me emails. That was just because I didn't exactly know what I was going to do with them or how I was going to use them. And I didn't want to like run all the way up to the very end and not know what I was kind of doing with it. It really wasn't that critical that it was by Friday. Saturday was fine. This morning was fine. Brenda handed me hers this morning. There was no problem. No problem at all. So if you want to think about something about your dad that you would want to share with us, just something small, a memory or whatever, before I read them, I'll see if you want to. Randy, same thing with you. Anyone else that wants to? I just don't want to miss you if you didn't see the email or whatever, okay? So, first off, I want to open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. Like Mike said, it's a beautiful day outside. And any day that we gather together, joy should be the feeling that is flowing amongst us. Because you are joy. And I thank you for our fathers today. I'm going to talk a little bit about some things you talked to me about it, and then we're going to hear a little bit about a bunch of the fathers of the people in this room. That way we know each other a little better, and someone else can be blessed by something that's said about their father, an experience they had. So I just thank you for that, and just have your way. Amen. So I would like to wish all the fathers that are in the room today, Happy Father's Day. Father's Day doesn't always get the same treatment that Mother's Day does, and that's okay. I'm all for that. I'm all for a day to recognize our mothers or our fathers, okay? I'm all for a day for that. But as I was thinking about that the other day, I thought to myself, you know, it's good that we have those, but it's kind of like having a day to celebrate that you have breath in your lungs, and it's a day to celebrate that you've got a beat in your heart. You know, those are things that make you what you are every day. They make you alive, your heartbeat and your air. And it's no different with your mother and your father. And I also want to say Happy Father's Day to anyone who filled the shoes of a father who wasn't there for some reason. There's lots of reasons that sometimes dads aren't there. Sometimes they're unavoidable. Sometimes they're very sad, sometimes they're tragic. But if someone stepped into the gap for you, happy Father's Day to them today. Whether you were a child, whether you were a teenager, whether you were an adult, you played a crucial role in somebody's life, and thank you for that. Now, I believe that girls are a little more likely to grow up dreaming of being a mother. They usually start at a very young age. Their mother, their baby dolls, at least they used to, I know a lot. And nurturing seems to come more natural to the girls. Now, in most cases, boys don't grow up dreaming of being a father. Now, there are some, I'm sure, who probably did, but most of them, that's probably not what they dream about when they're growing up. They usually dream of being a cowboy, an astronaut, a quarterback, a race car driver, a rock star, a policeman, a fireman, a ninja, a superhero, whatever it may be. And, you know, as boys kind of start to mature, they're more focused on showing the world that they are here and what they can do. And that's kind of what's required. The nurturing thing kicks in a little later in life for most boys. And I heard this quote the other day, and it kind of struck me, and it was this. There's nothing a kid hates more than a good example. And why is that the case? Because they can see right in front of them what should be done and what they should be. So I'm going to add to that my own quote here. And there's nothing an adult appreciates more than the good examples they had as a kid. You know, I believe a good example gets through to a kid in a way that lectures never will, whether they like it or not. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, "Just make sure you stay alert. Keep close watch over yourselves. Don't forget anything of what you've seen. Don't let your heart wander off. Stay vigilant as long as you live. Teach what you've seen and heard to your children and grandchildren." And I like there that it said, teach, not just tell what you've seen and heard. So what does that look like? Well, I don't know if, I'm sure a lot of you have used the Strong's Concordance before, which tells you the Greek and the Hebrew definitions of words in the Bible and what they really mean, and gets you a lot more in-depth knowledge sometimes about what things that are said. But in the back of the Strong's Concordance, there is a section that's called the Universal Subject Guide to the Bible. And it's got a lot of subjects back there. So I looked up father. And one of the categories under father, because it'll have like multiple categories and scriptures to go with them, but one of the categories was a pretty good job description of being a father. Here were the duties of a father toward his children. Number one, love. Number two, command. Number three, instruct. Number four, guide and warn. Number five, train. Number six, rebuke. Number seven, restrain. Number eight, punish. Number nine, chasten. Number 10, nourish. Number 11, supply needs, and number 12 said, do not provoke. That pretty much covers everything a father has to do. The good, the easy, the hard. It's a big job, no doubt, but it is well worth the sacrifice. Now, every one of us here in this room is here today because of the sacrifices of others. In the natural and in the eternal. Every father we will hear about today made hard sacrifices of some kind. And I was talking to Joey this morning for a minute, and I said, you know, our fathers made sacrifices. Sometimes they sacrificed their dream to do what they had to do. Sometimes they had to sacrifice their body to provide. There's just so many sacrifices that are made, and every one of us is standing here because of those sacrifices. Now, Jesus died for our sins that we can have eternal life. The Father God loves us so much, he sent his Son, the ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice. Now, when you have a child, I remember Parker was our first, and I had spent a lot of time helping babysit when I was a kid because my mom watched my cousins and stuff, and my sister would babysit some, and then I actually babysitted my cousins when my sister got too old to want to do it. So, you know, I had a little bit of an idea of what was coming, but not nearly what being a father is about once they're here. I tease Parker all the time. When we had Parker, Joey was in labor for 36 hours before she had him. And Deb and Clyde were at the hospital. My mom and dad were at the hospital. My sister was there some of the time. Josh was there almost all the time, I think. So it was 36 hours of being awake, waiting for this baby to come. And then finally, like Susan was trying to tell him, you need to have a C-section because this isn't working. And finally, she had a C-section and had Parker. And then Parker was born, and they had given Joey so many drugs by the time it was time for surgery, and she was so tired that she was knocked out. Well, Parker's first full, and Mom and Dad were tired, and Deb and Clyde were tired, and Josh were tired, so they all went home after they saw him and took pictures and stuff. And then they all left. Joey was knocked out, and they brought him to me and handed him to me. Sitting in the chair, I'm watching college football on TV. It's November. And they're like, here he is. Okay. So me and him hung out and watched college football, and I fed him and changed his diapers, and it was fine. I knew what to do. And then Joey woke up, you know, not too far along into it and that. And I always tell him, I'm still tired from that 36 hours I was awake. I said, I've never recovered, Parker, and it's all your fault. Started with you, and then it was Jack, and then people weren't sleeping through the night, and then it was Holden, and then people still weren't sleeping through the night, and then it was Sam. And I said, it all starts with you. I blame you. He says, I'll take that. I'm like, okay. So if you have a child, you know, you're always concerned with their current condition. I don't care how old they are, how close they are to you, whether you see them or you don't. And you want them to be safe, you want them to be healthy, and you want them to be happy. Bri, she's not bothering me. She's not bothering me at all. Now, if you have a child and you aren't involved in their lives at all, I'm sorry to tell you, but there's going to probably always be an empty space inside of you that child was supposed to fill. So even though you might not know what's going on with them, you know something's missing. Now, as a father, I can tell you, in quiet moments when you get to think, and sometimes those are hard to find when you're a father, just like when you're a mother, when you have some time to think and reflect, there's some questions that kind of come to your mind, I feel like. And one of them is, did I spend my time chasing something? Or did I spend my time nurturing someone? Have I given my kids the best of me? or have I given them the rest of me? The rest of me. What do I mean by that? The part that was left over after you got done chasing everything else. Now, none of us are perfect, and it's never too late to give them the best of you. Most, and I say most because everyone's not the same, but most men are more comfortable being shoulder to shoulder with you than face to face with you. Shoulder to shoulder, they can express their love and support for you a little more comfortably. Indeed, if not in word. Face to face tends to cause the heart to be exposed a little bit more. And as men, we tend to try to protect our heart from being hurt. You know, there are hurts that you never get over, you just get through. We all have those. 1 John 3:1-3 says, "What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him, and in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look forward to this coming, stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own." Now, I got one right there. Okay, so I was standing at work yesterday, and I remembered something that happened in our life, and I'll tell it to you. So, as you've heard many times said by me, I grew up loving the game of baseball, and I love to watch it being played at the highest level by the most knowledgeable, skilled players in the world. That's something I love. I think that's why, as a kid, I always loved the All-Star game, because it was all the best players in both the leagues playing against each other. Now, with that being said, I also love to coach T-ball. And T-ball tends to be the least knowledgeable, least skilled players playing the game at its lowest level, usually ages 4 to 6. So what I realized as I coached T-ball over the years for all of my kids, because I got a chance to coach them all in it, I realized that if you celebrate and encourage the little ones when they do one part of the game right, "Hey, good job, you fielded the ball. Next time, don't throw it into the dugout. Throw it towards first base. Give them a high five. Hey, good job, you hit the ball hard. Next time, don't run to third base and then go hug your mom. Run to first base. Give them a high five." The more you celebrated the successes, the high fives were a key to this. Celebration and encouragement made them want to learn more and improve their skills. And guess what? The players who will play the game at the highest level in the future are being developed right before your eyes. Now, God brought this story back to me yesterday. And there was a kid on, I believe it was Jack's team. His name was Gage. Joey remembers him. She was one of my assistant coaches. She should remember him. Gage had some issues. I don't know what they were, but he was heavily medicated every time he came to practice. And that was obvious. He could barely do what you asked him to do. His grandmother would bring him, and she looked exhausted every time she brought him to the game or a practice. I think practices and games were a break for her to be able to rest for a minute. So we still found reasons to give high fives to Gage and keep encouraging him. And so let me paint this picture for you. It's a hot Saturday on a dusty t-ball field in June at Crawford Woods Park up in Hamilton. I've probably worked 40-plus hours that week. I've probably been at the ball fields 4 to 5 nights during the week for games and practices. And it's Saturday. It's game day. And I'm herding cats on a t-ball field, trying to get kids to stay where they're supposed to be and pay attention and do what they're supposed to do just for their own safety, if nothing else. And I'm kneeling on the pitcher's mound next to a little girl named Akira. She's got a helmet on with a face mask because she's got to keep her faces protected because from the pitcher's mound to the tee is not very far. So I'm kneeling next to her trying to make sure she's paying attention. The ball we used was kind of foam, but it was heavy. So it wouldn't hurt you, but it was heavy. So if it hit you, it would still hurt. So I'm kneeling next to her on the pitcher's mound. I'm trying to get her to pay attention so the ball doesn't hit her. Sometimes just getting her on the field was a challenge. And Gage is pulling on my sleeve over here, saying, Coach. Yeah, Gage. I turn around and look at him. And he points to the outfield, and he says, that dog's pooping. And sure enough, I turn around, and there's a dog out in the outfield taking care of his business out there. I said, okay, Gage, get ready in case the ball's hit to you. Go back out to your position, you know. And as I was thinking about that yesterday, it made me laugh. Gage and the dog made me laugh a little bit. And it occurred to me yesterday that God, the Father, he deals with this scenario every day. Now, he's big enough to deal with it every day. He's trying to coach us up. He's standing guard over those in harm's way. And we are distracted by, sorry to say it like this, some kind of crap that doesn't really matter. And lovingly he says to us, okay, child, get ready for the important stuff that's coming. What a loving, patient father we have. In Ephesians 6, 1-4, it says, children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Now, I asked you guys, like I said, if you would send me something about your earthly father or your father figure in your life that we could share with the congregation. And this is not meant to glorify any man that's in these messages. But it's more to honor the Christ that's been shown through them. So I want to thank everyone who felt led to share something. And to God be the glory. We thank you, Lord, for these fathers. So before I read them, Charlene, if you would, and don't feel pressure, I'm just giving you the opportunity. If you'd like to say something about your dad.
Mm-hmm. Dad, so that you can't take that back, you know. Mm-hmm. But I thought, well, I was blessed to have two dads,
yeah.
Three dads. Well,
yeah.
My main dad,
yeah.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Is anybody else? Okay. All right. So I just kind of put these in a random order here. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Mike told me that his dad was about 6'3", was a very lighthearted man. He was a good bowler and one of the best amateur golfers in the city. He worked at GE and was a firefighter. All right. Yeah, sure. Brenda sent me, gave me this about her dad. Is his last name Taborn? Taborn. Burt Taborn Sr. She said, our daddy was one of the older surviving 10 children. There were 14. Some of the older ones quit school to help support the family. He worked from a kid up through all his life. My mama and him were sweethearts, so very precious. Daddy was a generous, kind man that was always helping others with any need that he could. He wasn't a highly educated man, but he was very wise and self-taught. He did electrical, plumbing, and carpentry. He was always bringing home some trinket, wildflowers, or fruit he picked along the way. There were 5 of us kids. I was in the middle. The 2 younger ones were mine, so I guess you was raising them, huh? Yep. He taught us to always do your best in everything you do, to always stand up for yourself, but to be kind. He was strong yet gentle. I remember him taking me to the doctor and holding my hand as we passed Murphy's 5 and 10 cent store. The windows were decorated for Thanksgiving. I was in the 2nd grade. But when we came out, it was Christmas time. It was Christmas things. I was surprised and asked him about it. He said, they are always jumping the gun on things. And we both laughed and laughed. Now Daddy, Mama, and all my sisters and brother are together with Jesus. I sure do miss them. But one day we'll be rejoicing together. The next one is about my father. My father is exactly the man that has preached countless sermons to you over the years. He was himself in front of you all these years. My childhood memories are drama-free, which is a testament to my father's steady faithfulness and the peace of God in his life. I never knew if money got tight, and I really never worried about what I didn't have because things were never made a priority. This allowed me to live a happy, worry-free life, which is what every kid deserves to have. For that, I say thank you. One memory that I thought about the other day was my sister had a birthday party at our house when she was a teenager. And that wasn't a normal occurrence in our family to have a birthday party. But she had some of the girls from school over. So I remember me and my dad, we left the house to be out of the house so they could have their birthday party, right? And he took me to Lunkin Airport, or at least a park that was at Lunkin Airport. And I got to hit baseballs off a pitching machine for the first time in my life. And I was probably about 10 or 11 years old. They weren't that common in those days. And for a kid who loved baseball the way I did, that was a great adventure that I had with my dad. Now, my father is a serious person. He's not a mean person. He's not a grouchy person, but he's a serious person. And that's not a negative trait to have. He's not a silly person. It's just not his makeup. His mother, my grandmother, she was quick to laugh at things, but she was not silly either. It just wasn't her personality. And I feel like my dad has been in a lot of positions in life, at work, in the union, in the church, where he's had to deal with problems and serious matters. And thankfully, I feel like he's been up for it. He was kind of created for that. But it makes me happy to remember the times in my life when I've seen him laugh uncontrollably. That may seem kind of hard for you to imagine, but I've seen my dad laugh uncontrollably to the point of crying. And it makes me happy to think about those times. And I pray that God gives him many, many more occasions to laugh and laugh and laugh, because he deserves them. You know, Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine. And Job 8:21 says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. And Psalm 126:2 says, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Co told me this about his dad, Sam. He said, every day for the past year or so, my dad has been working up to 18 hours a day in order to support my family. Some nights he would stay up until 3 or 4 in the morning working, then proceed to wake up a few hours later just to take me to school and immediately go back to work. Despite this, he has never complained about his exhaustion or lack of sleep. I would like to thank my dad for his unwavering dedication and sacrificial love to supporting my family and I. Clyde told me this. He said, my dad died on March 16th, 1956. Which happens to be Clyde's birthday. How old were you? He was 5. His dad died on his 5th birthday. He was a godly man, which I heard from my mother. I was 5 years old when he died. It was the second marriage for both of them. Both already had families, so we had new siblings who were older. My oldest new sibling was 30-something years older than my brother and me. Dad was in his early 60s when we were born. He loved the Lord and loved to go to church. We had lots of prayer meetings at our house. After church, Dad took us to get ice cream. He liked to visit the zoo, too, which meant, guess what? More ice cream. My bonus sister once asked about my good memories of our dad, and she thought I sure remembered a lot of spankings. I told her that there were so few memories of Dad that they all seemed good to me. Brian told me this. He said, when I think of my father, the first verse that comes to mind is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. For those of you who know my father, Daryl Holden, and his late father, Ellsworth Holden Jr., you may understand why this verse reminds me of both of them. If you recall those blessed memories at church camp or fellowship gatherings where playing was allowed, the easiest way to find my dad or granddad was simply to trace the sound of children's laughter. While others may have sat around and quietly judged them for their childlike nature, they were actually wisely preparing for the kingdom of heaven by surrounding themselves with the purity of children. And if you ever judged them for it, don't worry. My mom, my brother Scott, and I were probably thinking the same thing. Now, as a father myself, I see things a bit differently. When I look back on those fond memories, I envision Jesus embracing those laughing children in the exact same way. Happy Father's Day, Dad, and happy Father's Day in heaven, Grandpa Jr. Thank you for reflecting the light and joy of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And Dad, I look forward to making many more wonderful memories with you in the years to come. Sammy said this, "One of my favorite memories with my dad is going frisbee golfing. We have gone since I was in middle school, and it is a nice activity that we both share interest in. I would say I am way better than him, but it is still a nice way to hang out and connect with him." I don't think he understands sometimes dads let people win, you know. Nah, he's better than me. His body doesn't have as many years on it, wear and tear. Denise said, "My dad was a character, and everyone who knew him loved him." This is Ellsworth again. "But one of the things I remember most about him is how he came to truly know the Lord. When we were younger, my sister, Debbie, was diagnosed with pretty severe scoliosis. The doctor said she needed surgery. This had a profound effect on Dad. The thought that his young daughter had to undergo this surgery weighed heavily on him. I think he felt like he couldn't protect her from this pain. Anyway, he later testified that he made a deal with God. If he would save her from the pain of this, that he would give his life to him. You all know that she ended up having the surgery, but still, Dad found comfort in believing that God was going to take care of her and surrendered his life to him. It just showed me the depth of the love of a father and made me fully realize the love of the Father for us." Kayo told me this. She said, "I casually mentioned to my dad that I might try golf in college. That got him excited, and the next thing I knew, we were in a store shopping for golf clubs, gloves, and other things he thought I needed. I was glad the recreational team I joined was very casual and laid back because I was definitely the worst one on the team. Other girls were very nice and patient with me, but I really had to improve. So Dad and I started going to a golf range on weekends. Unfortunately, I didn't improve much, but we had fun together, and he showed me I could choose to have fun doing things I was not so good at." Joey said, "When I think about my dad, I think about how hard he worked day in and day out at a color-making plant, often coming home with traces of blue on him and on his clothes, a quiet reminder of the long hours he had put in to take care of us. Some of my favorite memories are the simple ones, watching him play softball and driving home in the car with him after his softball games, listening to the Cincinnati Reds on the radio as we drove home. Those days planted the seed for my love of the game and helped me make a meaningful connection with my husband when we started dating that we still share today. Beyond all that, what stands out most is his deep passion for sharing his faith wherever he goes. He doesn't just talk about what he believes, he lives it in the way he worked, the way he treats others, and the way he loves his family." Holden said, "My favorite thing about my dad is his love for music, which has passed down to me and my brothers as well. He always gets up and goes to work, even when he doesn't feel like it, which I try to do also. I'm grateful to have a father that is as level-headed as him, and I fully intend to one day treat my wife the way he treats my mom." Debbie said about Ellsworth, "Dad was raised in the country tough, rough around the edges model. This model comes with the big, soft-hearted option, and Dad had it, fully functioning. I think I was maybe 11 or 12. My older brothers were 2 to 4 years more mature than me. During one of our many wonderful, fun, and sun-filled summer vacations at Kentucky Lake, which consisted of sleeping on the unsoft ground in a sometimes damp and smelly sleeping bag, I was hit hard in the face with a giant fistful of brotherly love, a.k.a. dirty sand. After the brothers got a spicy chewing out, including lowball estimates about their IQs, I was the receiver of the most gentle and loving eye sand removal operation you can imagine. For a while, I got a love bubble around me, kind of like a sign around my neck saying, "This princess will not be harmed today, Dad." As I remember, the bubble burst the next day, but for a few moments, I, only in my mind, was my father's favorite, and it was glorious. Kurt told me this. My dad was the godliest man I've ever known. He was the same man at home as he was in church. Most folks here never got to meet him, but any that can remember him would agree that he was a pillar at Wings. The picture that I see when I think of him has him on his knees by his bed with his Bible open, studying and praying. He was the ultimate family man, working 6 days a week when he could, taking us to Tri-State Land on Thursday nights and Winton Woods on Friday nights for Wings events. He was faithful in that he, most of the time with the family, attended both Sunday morning and evening services, Wednesday night prayer meeting service, Friday night youth group meetings, along with the monthly City Gospel Mission service and regular elders meetings. He was an ultimate prayer warrior and always willing to help anyone in need. He left his earthly home in 1980 at the age of 52. During his illness and eventual death, his best friend decided that that was his way to go into ministry full time. If you have attended his church, there would be a good chance that you could hear him speak of Dad and the influence he had on that preacher. I miss my dad and look forward to seeing him again someday. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Kenta told me this about his dad. He said, "Our dad has always been a rock for our family. He always provides, always supports, always shows up, and I can't remember him ever complaining about anything. Even after recovering from a tumor that came out of nowhere, you would have thought that nothing happened. He was the one that drove us to school, to practice, to friends' houses, and everywhere else you can think of. When things break, he's always there to fix it, whether it's the car, the furniture, the computer, the printer, the plumbing, or something in my apartment. Our dad is someone who has always put his family first and epitomizes selflessness. His devotion to the things that are truly important in life have always been inspiring to me, and I hope that someday I can be even half that father that he was to us and the husband he is to my mom." And from Buddy, James Weaver. "Father of 11 children, I called him Little Big Man because he was small in stature, but big in heart. He was a hard worker and went to work even when he wasn't well. When you grow up on a farm, it isn't easy, but you do what you got to do. He gave us what all he could, but the most important thing he gave us was love. He taught us to give 100% in everything we do. He was proud of each and every one of us, his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. My fondest memory of him was to go to the mom-and-pop store and have a Coke together. He made beautiful gardens. I loved to sit next to the tomato ripening table in a lawn chair with a salt shaker. Dad would say, you're gonna get sick eating... Wait a minute. You're going to get sick, son, eating all them tomatoes." Later in life, when he was in a wheelchair from a stroke, and anyone asked him how he was doing, he would always say, "All is well," with his precious smile. I know he's smiling down from heaven on all of us. This is what Daryl had to say about his dad. "My father was a rugged individual," and you'd have to know that was joke. Grandpa said that all the time about himself. I'm kind of a rugged individual, he'd say. And he was. But he said, my father was a rugged individual, with an exclamation point. I am the son of Ellsworth Holden, Jr. He was a member of the Wings Christian Fellowship congregation for most of his adult life. My father went to be with the Lord over 12 years ago. I think of my father often, and I miss him greatly. As a young boy, my dad came to Ohio with his family to escape their hardscrabble existence in the coal mining region of North Carolina. The family settled in Cincinnati, looking for a better life. Despite his lack of formal education, Dad learned much throughout his lifetime. He was mostly self-taught as he developed into a skilled craftsman with significant creative capabilities. He built houses and repaired mechanical equipment using the skills that he had acquired. He often used his God-given talents to help friends, neighbors, relatives, and other church members who had fallen upon hard times in their lives. Despite working long hours and performing rigorous, demanding work, my father always had time for me and my five siblings. We didn't have much, but we never knew it. We had a good life and many fond memories as a family. My siblings and I reflect often on our parents, our lives, and the shared experiences that we lived through. My dad had a love of the outdoors, and he enjoyed things like hunting, fishing, camping, and boating. I inherited these traits from my father, and I often reflect on him when I am conversing with nature. However, more than anything, my father loved the Lord and he loved his family. There was never any doubt about his allegiances, as they were very clear to all that knew him. Thank you, Dad, for giving us a wonderful life. Well done. Rest in peace, Ellsworth Holden, Jr. Sam told me this about his dad. He said, as a child, one of my favorite memories with my dad was visiting a remote village in India where he served as a missionary. The village had no electricity or running water. During that week, I watched my dad serve the villagers in many ways, sharing the gospel, teaching math, English, and music, helping with basic medical needs, leading Bible studies, and praying for and counseling anyone who came. Because my dad was living in the village at the time, we rarely got to see him, so it was a special blessing to spend an entire week together as a family. We even attempted to fish with our homemade fishing poles. That week showed me my dad's deep love for God and his compassion for people. And the last one that I have is Susan. And it says, although my dad has been gone for more than 15 years, I still feel his presence every day, and I miss him very much. Most people knew him as Brother Eddie, but to me, he was Dad. I'm sure other people feel the same way about their father, but I had the best one in the world. As a young man, he was a hero. He served as a soldier in the army at age 19 and was shipped off to Normandy Beach to fight in the Battle of the Bulge. He was not a fighter, so he thankfully got a job as a radio repairman. He had just lost his father before deploying, and it breaks my heart to think of what he and my grandmother went through at that time. As the war ended and his life was spared, he made a deal with God to become a preacher. As he soon found out, it wasn't an easy job. He married my mother, and after 5 years, I came along. I remember as a small child, he played with me, filling up my gas tank on my tricycle, taking walks to the drugstore down the road to get an ice cream, teaching me to ride a two-wheel bike on our gravel road, among many others. Growing up, he played ping pong with me after school. He taught me how to roller skate, and on Thursday nights took us to Tri-Skate Land, and on Friday nights to Winton Woods for picnics with the youth group. Thanks to the dedication of him and many other parents in the church, we also got to experience church camp every summer. What a wonderful life I have had. He woke me up in the mornings and made my breakfast before driving me and the neighbor kids to school. He put a pool in our backyard, and we enjoyed lots of company growing up on Brockton Drive. He was always willing to help others in need. If I needed a dollar, he gave me five. He was a father to many, not just Jewel and me. He loved his family and especially his grandkids, and I know he touched thousands of lives in the many years that he preached. God blessed me by giving me such a wonderful, loving dad. I was proud to be a preacher's kid to a man who lived and exemplified what he preached, the love of Jesus. Psalm 103:13 says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate." So once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Thank you, God, for being the pattern father. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful fathers we've heard about today. Help us to follow your pattern of what being a father is all about. And Lord, help us just to love you and to let that love shine forth. That's what would make our fathers proud. And we know that's what you want us to do, Lord. So we just thank you for this day. I ask you to bless all the fathers that are here. And we just love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey,
yeah.
Mark, can I
make no, you're good.
Hello. Hey, guys. Thank you, Mark. That was a beautiful, beautiful message, giving reference to fathers. Don't knock this pulpit down. I just wanted to let you, I heard many people telling stories about the fond memories of their childhood that was encountered with their fathers through their fathers. And as I reflect on my own childhood, I realized how good of a childhood my parents gave me. And for that, I would really like to provide that same family here through Wings and extend that family of God to everyone. As a silly, simple way to do it, we're going to start some fellowship on Wednesday nights here. And it's not going to be anything formalized. We're gonna do a first session, and then we're gonna take a little break, regroup, and reorganize. But we're gonna have wiffle ball at Wings on Wednesday nights at 6:30, and I'm gonna go ahead. I'll be there with my children. I've invited some other folks that I know closely, and I want you to know that. Again, while these were our own personal experiences through our fathers. And it was God revealed through them to us. I want everybody to know that Wings is a family, and our family. All right, mister. Am I talking or you? Okay, sorry. I would like to invite everybody out Wednesday for Wiffle Ball at Wings. We'll get some food. We'll have some fellowship. We'll have a quick word and have a lot of fun with each other's families. So if you guys know of anybody that would like to come, please invite them. I'd love to meet them and embrace my extended family.
Starting this week.
We're going
to do 2 weeks,
Brian. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so we're going to do 2 weeks, and then we're going to take some... Yeah, we're going to take a break for 2 weeks. So we'll have two sessions starting this Wednesday, 6:30. Thank you, Joey. I'm not good with logistics. Keep me honest. Please do extend the invite. If you have anybody that would like to just come and hang out with some nice family people and rowdy ones at that, please join us. Thank you.
Sorry.